You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Oh, John 21:18-22. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Okay, cool. Well, it's good to see you all here this morning. We have a number of rooms, and they all have these nice views. And I've got a nice office room. And just outside my window, there's some nice little plants growing. And at this time of the year, the cardinals like to come in behind there. So there's some sort of shrubs and stuff, a little bit of shading, a little bit of color there. And then there's the window, and behind the window is me. And so these cardinals come in, and they obviously can't see me for whatever reason. Maybe there's reflection or something, but they don't see me. So they come right up to the window, and I'm right next to the window. Here they are, about as close as you can get to a cardinal, you know. And he's just looking at me, beautiful top knot and all that bright color, beautiful things. And so I've been enjoying those. And Seppi, she likes the blue jays. And she often remarks me about these beautiful birds that come in. So we've been enjoying the wildlife and the cooler temperatures, beautiful. I get energized when this kind of temperature comes in. And I really like it. I was looking at this guy talking about energized. He's a 75-year-old Japanese man, and he's got this idea about how to keep your body healthy and stuff. And he's developed this system of tension on your muscles, and it's not like you have to sort of lift big time weights, but you spend about 15 minutes each day putting tension. And he restricts. He's got these little bands. You put some restriction on your blood flow around your arms, and this activates the hormones and things in your muscles, and after a while you build up these massive muscles. This guy, as I say, he's around about, I don't know, 75 or something. He's got these muscles like this, you know, on his arms, and he's a pretty healthy looking dude. And so I said to Seppi, right. Well, I don't know whether I quite achieved that, but I'm thinking about getting some weights and getting into some exercise. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for today. And, Lord, for all the grace that thou hast shown us. We pray for this country, Lord, as it goes through some turmoil. That, Lord, that people would think deeply before they vote, Lord. And we ask, Lord, in all these things, for thy grace and mercy in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, cool, man. So up here is our usual slide. And we have been really blessed, I think, in having the opportunity to open up the scriptures and learn anew from this gospel. Because I'll tell you, it's just like something new hit me. I don't know about you guys, but for me, this is just like absolute new. And so what I want to do is I want to give you a few summary ideas about the whole thing. What have I learned? What are some of the big takeaways, you know, as we say, in the southern hemisphere, takeaways. You have fast food. We have takeaways. Takeaways. Usually very bad food. Very bad food. But anyways, here's some good fast food. Some takeaways that I think will be very useful to you. Now, this word, this is a Greek word, all right? So you don't have to be a Greek expert, but this word, huiothesia. Now, it's made up of these two parts. One is this huios, which means sun. And this one comes from the verb tithemi. And tithemi means to place. To place. So this word, huiothesia, means to place as a son. To place as a son. And we translate that as adoption. To place as a son. Now, what does that mean? Well, you'll notice if you see where this word is used, it's used in Romans, it's used in Galatians, and in Ephesians. Now, there's heavy Greek influence in all these places, but certainly in Rome, you would expect there to be some Roman influence. And here, Greek influence in the meaning of words and so on. But regardless of where you go to look for the meaning of this word, it takes on basically several ideas. One is that even if you're born into a family, you're in a family, the father, it's the right of the father to say, you, I'm going to adopt. But wait a minute, you're already in the family. How is it that he could adopt one of his own family members? Well, you see, that's how this word differs from how we use it today, right? How we use it today is you adopt someone outside your family and bring them in. But that's not the way it's used in the scriptures. In the scriptures, it takes on this ancient idea that it means to be placed as a chief inheritor. In other words, who's going to take the inheritance of my kingdom? You know? Well, this is the adoption. Now, the other thing about it is, until such a time as this occurs, the family members don't differ from those of slaves. Why, it's even possible for the father to say, no, none of you meet the standards. But we have a slave boy over here, I'm going to choose him. So that's how drastic this thing could be. You know, that's how it could go down. And so we're not going to go through all these passages. I want to give you, you know, because it's supposed to be a summary. But if you look at this one, just open your Bibles to Romans. Okay, this is where one of the places where it's used, and you'll find this quite instructive, I think. Romans. Interesting word, isn't it? Romans 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six letters in Romans. And there's a word in there. Man. Roman. Six. It's associated with the day in which man was created. 666 is all that man can do in rebellion to God. And this book is how to get out of one man into another man, Jesus Christ. Well, while we're playing with numbers, let's do it, okay? I've done it before, but since we're playing with numbers, let's do it. Look at Romans 6. Romans 6 and verse 6. Wait a minute, let's see. We've got Romans, six letters. We got man in Romans. We go to chapter 6, and then we go to verse 6, right? Then we'll count the words, knowing this, that our old man, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The sixth word in Romans, chapter 6, verse 6, sixth word is man. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. How is that possible? Because you're going to be placed into the new man. Right? There's a man that's associated which gives life. Interesting things about this. But let's go on to Romans 9, because that's not my subject, that's just a trail. So Romans chapter 9 verse 4 says, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption? The adoption and the glory. and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Well, if you just think about all these words, you can see that that's Israel. You can see Israel in there, the service of God. Why, there was even a separate tribe dedicated to the service of God. And that they had tremendous signs and wonders associated with their service. At one time, there was a manifestation of God over their camp, where the glory of God would appear above the tabernacle. And there was a cloud and a fire by night. Okay, so this is not a surprise to us. And then it goes on, it says, verse 5, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came? This is very, very clear. So when you talk about what Christ's ministry was, it's very clearly stated here, right? He came to the nation of Israel, who was overall God blessed forever. Amen. Truly. Amen. Amen means truly. Look at the structure of this thing, okay? And you notice how it goes A, B, C, D, E. And then this is known as an introversion. So you notice C, to whom pertaineth the adoption. And that corresponds with and the promises. And the promises. The adoption is heavily related to promises that were given to Israel. God says, Israel, my firstborn. My firstborn. And so they were adopted and given these tremendous promises. There's a great inheritance coming to the nation of Israel. God made the choice. Well, if you go through John's gospel, so this is summary, right? We've done all this, now I'm summarizing things. If you go through John's Gospel and look for the word huios, which is son, you'll find it. But it's generally, like for example, it'll talk about that this person was the son of someone else. Or it will be in reference to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You'll find this. The only time it talks about a believer as a son is this one in John 12:36. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children. That is the sons of light, which is a Hebraism. This is the only time that you get a reference given to believers as being sons, right? In this spiritual context of being adopted. No, it's not there. John doesn't talk about this. And if you look at, say, a concordance of the word for children, which is this word technon, you'll find it in these places. And one of the very informative places is right there in John 1, verse 12. Let's just quickly look at it. In John 1, and verse 12, it says this. But as many as received him, so this is receiving. This is a responsibility of individuals. You are able to respond. You are responsible. You are able to respond. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become, it says in the translation, the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Now that word sons is actually the word from techna, which has this technon, I should say, singular, technon, which is a child. So what it really says is this, but as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now that is kind of interesting, because as you go through all of John's writings, you find this repeated, that they are children of God. And adoption, if you look at it, it relates to not salvation, but to a special place that children of the family can be placed. Let me just show you what I'm talking about. Have a look at this. This is the big idea. This is some of the big takeaways from John. If you look at Ephesians 3 and verse number 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, Now, this makes us prick up our ears because we are Gentiles. We are of the nations. And it says, I, Paul, the prisoner. Oh, that's right. He's the prisoner. That means it's right at the end of the book of Acts. Right at the end there. And it says, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. So right here is an oikonomia, an economy that was given to Paul, and then he passes it on to us. Unfortunately, the message has been lost a little bit over the ages. Why? Because people just willy-nilly come to the Bible, and whatever they like, they take. And we are affected by tradition. We just are. Many traditions come to play here. But this is something that was given to Paul the prisoner, and it was to be passed on. And it says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. The mystery, man. Mystery. Mysterion. Now, you either get this mystery and you understand it, or what happens, this is just a rule of life, the mystery becomes a myth. Unless you appropriate it and you understand it, and you understand this knowledge, then what happens is, for many people, they just account it as being a myth. And it says, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You see, through the ages, ideas to do with Christ have been made known. The secrets to do with Christ have been known all throughout the ages. But the capstone of this revelation concerning Christ was given to Paul the prisoner, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This is a spiritual work. It's a work of the Spirit of God, and it's made known. It was given to Paul and the apostles by revelation, that the Gentiles who should be fellow heirs. We're talking about adoption, right? And partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Promise. Heirs. Adoption. Right? Same ideas that we've just come across in the concept of adoption. And it says this, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach. That I should preach. That is the giving of a message as good news. It's a gospel. It's the preaching of good news. And it says, among the Gentiles, what? What is this good news that is part of this gospel? The unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable. Untraceable. Untraceable. You're not going to find them anywhere, friend. You can... No, not there. Now, people will try to do it. They'll try to deny this truth, right? And they'll try and say, oh, Paul, you know. That's just Paul. Yeah, it's not just Paul, because Paul was given something after he was stuck in jail. Later on, he was given this revelation. Paul has a twofold ministry. He has a ministry that goes on during the book of Acts. Okay, you've got this occurring. Here's Christ, and here we have the book of Acts. And over here we have some time when Acts comes to an end, and later after this, the mystery was given to Paul the prisoner. Which you know how I write it. AU for Aurum, gold, man. Gold. Anyway, I better not go up on that. So over here you have a ministry which is Paul, where he goes to the Jew first, saying none other things than what Moses and the prophets said should come. None other things than what Moses and the prophets said should come. That ministry does tie into the Old Testament. It ties well into it. You can read it. Romans 11:15 ties directly into the Old Testament. But once you come over here, no, it's unsearchable, untraceable. You can't find it in the Old Testament. It's a secret.
And what is God? He's a man of war. What do you do? What do you as a man of war? Do you let all your secrets be known? No, that's why you have all these cryptographers and these secret messages, encrypted files, and all these secret things that you want to keep away from your enemy.
And at just the right time, God releases the secret to Paul, the prisoner. Okay, cool. So, what am I getting at? I'm getting at this idea of adoption. First of all, there is this adoption here. Look at this. In fact, let's just go back. Notice down here in Ephesians 1:5. Okay, that's the place where we want to go. Okay, so Ephesians 1:5 says this: having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So special will, which has to do with a predestination. Having predestinated us. Now wait. Soon as you start talking about election and predestination, everybody just goes, Calvin, 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 Calvin. No. The word predestinated just means to be marked off beforehand. To be elected is just to be chosen. All of you here have been chosen, right? If you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, God says, okay, I choose you. You've got nothing in yourself. I've got nothing in myself by which I can come to the throne of God and say, you must take me. Nothing. There's nothing in me. So, what does God do? He says, okay, I'll count your belief for righteousness. I'll count it as though. As for righteousness. So he chooses you, right? But there's something you must believe, right? Now look at the top here, verse 1, Ephesians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. To the saints. To the saints. 2, grace be to you. The saints, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Look at verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him. Chosen us in him. Okay, so you believe, right? You believe the gospel. Look at verse 13. Have a look at Ephesians 1:13, okay? Let's see if you can get this straight, what I'm getting at here. Look at verse 13. In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You believe and then you're sealed, right? You believe, you heard, you believe, you're sealed. Now, if you go back up here into 1:4, just look at it again. Just make sure we got our words right. According as he hath chosen us, where? In him. In him. My question is then, how did you get in him? Because what he did was he made choice amongst those that were in him. Verse 13 tells us the way you get in there is you make a choice. You are responsible. You make a choice. You hear the gospel and then you react to that gospel. You believe and then there's a spiritual work that's done. And so in 1:4 it says he chose us in him. I'm going to capitalize it, in him. But we know how we got in him. We believed. And that's how we got chosen. We trusted him, and then he says, yeah, okay, I choose you. Now he's then, amongst all those people who are believers, he makes choice. Now he makes a choice. And what he does is, amongst those believers, he makes choice, and he puts them into this very special place of being chosen for a very, very special function and purpose and blessing. And that's what Paul goes on about here, how that you're chosen in him. And then he talks about, you know, for example, in chapter 3, it says, whereby when you, this is verse 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And so there's a certain amount of knowledge that you have to come to understand this. Okay, and then as it says down here in verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ. So you hear this tremendous message and you believe it. So you get the gospel by which you're saved. Then you hear something else. You hear something else which is concerning the unsearchable riches of Christ. And what do you do? Or, hey, yeah, that's me, man. This is exactly what I've been waiting for, man. Well, guess what? You're one of the chosen. Right? Now, if you don't believe what I'm saying, okay, it's all right. You can inform me. Tell me about it. You know, like the philosophers of old. Someone that can bring you correction, you've got to thank, man. You've got to thank. Thank you. Please correct me. I want to be corrected. I want the truth. These are great and mighty things. Okay, so this is some of the big idea, right? Some of the big idea. Okay, but then we come to John. And I don't find any adoption. You see? See, that's the thing. This, you have the right to become a member of the family. Okay, a member of the family. But as we've seen, that's not adoption. The adoption takes place within the family. We find it in Ephesians. We find it in Romans. Okay. You cool with this? This is kind of one of the big things. It's one of the big ideas. Now look at another one. Okay, we're talking about adoption. We've got an adoption which relates to Israel. Let's go across now to the book of Galatians. And when we go back to the book of Galatians, you find signs and wonders and all these sort of things which contextualize it and tells us that Galatians pertains to the Acts. Right? And if you have a look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 29, and if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Whoa! Wait a minute. How is it possible that Gentiles could become seed of Abraham? Ah, this is the beautiful thing about this. Because Abraham believed when he was uncircumcised. Paul majors on this in Romans. He believes when he was uncircumcised, just like a Gentile. And therefore he can establish this tremendous doctrine of the seed of Abraham. Now carry on, look at what it says. It says, as you go down to chapter 4, verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The adoption of sons. So there's an adoption here, right? That we might receive the adoption of sons. They believe the good news, and they hear some other truth, which relates to something. Well, what is that something? You keep reading. And if you go down to chapter 4, verse 23, but he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. Okay. Now, if you read Romans 9, where it talks about the adoption, it was Israel after the flesh. It was Israel after the flesh. There was an adoption that had to do with Israel after the flesh. But look at this one. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. We know how adoption particularly relates to promise. And as you read down in verse 26, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. The New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem. So what you get now is this mother of us all, New Jerusalem. And if you go to Revelation 21, you find that this New Jerusalem is described as the bride of the Lamb. All right. So there's tremendous associations here. The adoption, being placed as an heir, associated with promises, you believe, and then there's something else that comes. An adoption. Okay, cool. Now, let's carry on. So what you have here is you get this elect nation, the peculiar people, the nation of Israel. You get the elect remnant, the bride. And then, you can only read this, the one body, this peculiar people again. There is therefore these quite distinct and clear adoptions you can find in the Bible.
And what's kind of interesting about these adoptions is that they're associated with various families. If you look, for example, at the book of Ephesians, have a look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 15. It says, verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family." Now see what it says, the whole? It means the every family, of whom every family in heaven and earth is named. Now you have to do your own research to see whether I'm right. Okay? You check it out. Every family. There are multiple families. They are blessed of God. There is an adoption that takes place. And some of these people who might be in a family will say, no, I don't want that. They believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but no, they don't want to go any further with that. They don't want to be a part of the pearl of great price where you have to go through tribulation and trouble, right? They believe, but they don't want to go further. Okay, carrying on. And so here you can find this idea of possession. For example, let's just quickly look at this passage. Have a look with me at Exodus 19. I'll show you this one because it is really a cool passage for you to see. It goes very well with the ideas I'm trying to bring to you. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5. There's other places. It's peculiar treasure. And it says this, verse 4, "You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." A peculiar treasure. Do you know that treasure is mentioned in Matthew 13 as one of the parables, inside one of the parables? And what the Lord says, that he found the treasure. And what did he do? He buried it inside the field. And what did he do then? He went out and he bought the whole field. What does that mean? The field is the world. When Jesus died on the cross at Calvary, you're going to find some very interesting passages. In Isaiah 53, for example, Psalm 22, other passages which talk about Jesus' sufferings, that they are particularized to the nation of Israel, that he dies for the Israel's sins. And it's true, he did die for Israel's sins, but what is brought out by our Lord and by his apostles is that he did not just die for Israel, because the way he did it was, he buried that treasure in the world and he bought the whole world, man. And guess what? That's John's message to the world, right? To the world. John's message. So we are still coming to this question. What is John's gospel saying? Okay. Well, I've shown you this about the peculiar people because you can see how that God has different particular peoples. And we're one of them. We have been brought out as a peculiar people, just as Israel was a peculiar people. And people say, well, the only peculiar people is Israel. No, sorry, friend. There's some other ones in there as well. And if you know your Bible, you'll start to understand that we form part of a group, a distinctive group, a people, which is peculiar, a special possession of God. And Peter goes on with his ministry to Israel. Now, here we come to John 21. John 21, and it also relates to Matthew 22. Okay? So John 21 and Matthew 22. Now, we're going to put these two ideas together, and I want you to see this. It is big, friends. This is one of the greatest things that I have come to see in the entire Bible, which I have not shared with you before. This is new. This is cool. This is what's just completely motivated me
in the scriptures just recently. I hope you are impressed with the scriptures. Now, you may not be impressed with my rendition of the presentation, but the scriptures you should be impressed with. Look at this. John 21. So remember, this is the PS. The ending has already occurred in John 20, 31. And now he gives this PS. Chapter 21. Do you write letters anymore? Snail mail? Used to be a day when everyone was writing these letters. You know, we didn't have email so much. And you write these. And then you think, after you've finished your letter, P.S. Write some more stuff that you... Oh, it's important, but I didn't put it in there. Well, I'm not saying this is exactly the same idea, but it is similar in the sense that a very important note goes on the end of John's Gospel, chapter 21, which is where the eighth sign is. And look what he says. After he's dealt with Peter, because Peter is in a real bad place, man. Oh, Peter, screwed up, man, completely messed up. 3 times he denies the Lord. And then the Lord questions him 3 times, really puts him on the spot. And then if you look at verse 17, just at the end, notice what it says, feed my sheep. Right at the very end of verse 17. Then verse 18, verily, verily, this is the truly, truly, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, a prophecy, when thou shalt be old, that means Peter's going to live to an old age. When thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Going to take you to a place you don't want to go. And then it says, this spake, verse 19, it explains this. Then spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Oh, so this means Peter is going to come out, man, he's going to come out with good colors in the end. I mean, real bad start here, Peter. But now we see a prophecy of the fact that he would die a death that would bring glory to God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. What does he say? Feed my sheep, now follow me. Then Peter turning about, look what happens. This is really funny. It's funny and yet it's very instructive. Then Peter turning about seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. This is John. Which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus. Look at this. Peter now, when he sees John coming, he says, Lord, and what shall this man do? And what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Again, follow thou me. Feed my sheep. When he said, feed my sheep, what is Peter to think of that? Well, because I'm sort of running out of time, if you look at Matthew 22, verses 1 to 6, you get this 2 invitations to the marriage supper, right? So, when the Lord said, feed my sheep in verse 17, what would Peter think? Well, just carry on with what this ministry is, right? Remember, this is said during the lifetime of the apostles. Just carry on. Carry on with that second ministry to the nation of Israel. And then he turns and he says to John, now what's this man going to do? And what shall this man do? And what shall John do? Well, he's going to carry on after this, right? He's got a special place. John is pointing us now to what he has just written about, which is relating to this ministry to the world, which is not an adoptive ministry. It's not saying, oh, look, this, here's your real special inheritance. Rather, here you can have life in Christ and a guest, and you're a guest at the marriage supper.
And what is a guest? Well, you can see a guest doesn't quite have that same place in the ceremony, right? You're really viewing the ceremony. It's the bridegroom and those special people that are involved with the wedding ceremony. Those are the ones who are intimately involved, and you are there viewing. You're a guest. Okay, so what's the big takeaway? The big takeaway is this. John's message is about life. It's not about the special hope, as in the case of an adoption. It's simply giving life. So what we find today is exactly the same thing. We are seeing people who understand the message of life. They understand that Jesus died for them, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's what people really relate to. Billy Graham, man, preaching around the world. Thousands of people came to Christ with virtually that message, right? Now, what happens then? What happens after that? Well, then what happens after that is, do they get to hear the special great news that I just read to you from Ephesians 3 about the unsearchable riches of Christ? Do they hear that? Do they respond to that? If they do not respond to that, then they remain as guests, which is a great place, a guest at the marriage supper. If they hear and believe, what happens? Then they are given this adoption into the body, which is of Christ, of whom Christ is the head. You understand what I'm saying? It's quite a distinctive thing, and it helps us understand, I think, the world we find ourselves, especially when you look at the Christian world. What do we see? Well, we see people with all sorts of animus against what we are saying. They don't know about it. They don't want to know about it in some cases. Okay. Let's not be all upset with people who reject our message of the unsearchable riches of Christ. Let's allow that God has an election. Right? And those that will respond, will respond. Right? And we'll be happy to have them. And we'll preach and we'll teach. And we'll bring this message to people. And it is a gospel. They can hear it and they can understand it. And when they understand it, they're chosen. If they don't trust it, are they lost and they go to hell and burn forever? Well, all that stuff is, you know, stuff we need to expunge from a lot of our thinking because it's not scriptural. But the idea that people have is that unless you sort of believe exactly as we have it, then you're lost. I'm afraid that's not scriptural. It's not right. Well, I've got more to say about this, right? There's more here about the summary, but this is one of the big ones. Now, what shall this man do? And what shall this man do? Well, we've got the answer. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this great ministry, Lord, that's given to John and that he passes us on. We thank thee most of all, Lord, for coming to comprehend something of the scriptures rightly divided. We ask you to help us in humility to bring forward this truth to others, and that we might see a great groundswell of people who believe. In Christ's name, amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.